It is an honor for me to get to stand in this pulpit today and just spend the next few minutes with you. I so deeply appreciate Pastor Jim and him trusting me with this opportunity, but just more than that, the leadership that he gives this congregation and this team on a daily basis. And we're so happy that he could take a week of vacation, of much-deserved vacation. I did talk to him this week. It was a staycation. Their plans fell through, as most of a lot of ours has, but he had a good week kind of just changing up the norm. But he asked me to tell you all hi. He will be back next Sunday. He's actually asked me to let you know that he's going to start a series that will carry us all the way through the fall. He's going to start next Sunday on the book of Revelation. So that'll be a really interesting one and a timely one. And I'm also really glad that I'm speaking today before that starts, because I don't think I would want to be assigned a topic from the book of Revelation should he need to be gone in the fall. So, but that's going to be an awesome series. I've seen a little bit of the design for that, and I'm really excited, and I think we can all be looking forward to that. So stay tuned next week. Also, just want to say, since I don't really get this chance a whole lot to be with you in this capacity, I want to say thanks to just a few other groups of people. Steve mentioned our team here. I just love working with our team. We've got a wonderful pastoral and staff team here. This year has not gone anything like what we thought it was going to go like. But we've just really enjoyed working together during this season, taking the next steps that we need to take. And I just really enjoy getting to work alongside them every day. I believe God's called each one of them here with a purpose for this season. And it's so fun. And thank you for trusting us that way. And then lastly, I want to say thank you to you, our congregation. I think we just have one of the best congregations in the United States. It's been really interesting this year again. You know, we started the year with some ideas, and a lot of those ideas and plans had to change and morph, but it's just been awesome to see us all go through these past 5 months together. And I just want to thank you for kind of going on this weird new journey with us, where, you know, we've started online services and had to do that only for a while. There's online devotional resources. The way we do prayer groups and life groups has had to change. The way we serve has had to change. But through it all, I've just really felt this intense sense of unity from this group of people. And excuse me, it's been really special to be a part of. So thank you for being open to what the Lord wants to do during this time. And that's really what I want to spend the next few minutes talking about today. If you know me at all, it would not be hard to guess that I'm a huge fan of the game show Jeopardy. Are there other Jeopardy fans in the house? I know you're out there. Yeah, yeah. So if you know Jeopardy, and I think everybody probably does, if you know Jeopardy, it's a quiz show. It's a question and answer show, but they would say it's an answer and question show because it's kind of turned on its head, right? The game gives you an answer that's in a category, and then you as a contestant would respond with a question that would appropriately pair with that answer, right? So you get the answer and you give the question in the game. So it works a little something like this. If we imagine that we were on Jeopardy and Alex Trebek was over here in his, you know, his kind of sort of condescending but really kind Canadian accent over here hosting Jeopardy today, and he put up this picture in a category that was maybe churches. Next picture. There, that picture. What would we say? We'd say that question that was on the first slide, right? We would say, what is Central Assembly? And because that's the building that we're in right now. So that would be the Jeopardy question that could go with that, you know, video daily double answer or whatever it is. Struck me, though, as I've been thinking about this, that we could put up another picture. Right now, we're celebrating our 100th anniversary of being in this block. You could kind of see the block in that last picture. So we could put up a picture of this building, and the answer would also be, the Jeopardy question would also be what? What is Central Assembly? Because that's the very first building that we built on this spot in 1920. And it struck me as I was thinking about this that we could probably come up with any number of Jeopardy clues that would elicit the response, what is Central Assembly? You can think of some right now, right? Everybody in here can think of at least one that would bring us to the response, what is Central Assembly? So that kind of gets you to an interesting question about, well, what really is Central Assembly? Is it all of those things? What is, if I had to give the answer to the question, what is Central Assembly, what would that be? And I think this past few months has really been a reminder. It's easy to maybe think, well, yeah, it is the building because it's the place we all come. But I think the last few months have been a great reminder for us all that it's definitely not the building, because we've we still, not everybody can go here, come here for service. In fact, this picture is a picture on Thursday. I recorded the online version of this message, and this was the building, and if you look carefully, you see nothing. There's no one here. There's me and two of our tech staff are the only people that were able to be here for that recording on Thursday, but yet more than two-thirds of our congregation is still engaging with us online. So that is the service that's gonna connect with a huge percentage of our congregation, but none of them could be here for it. So it's definitely not the building, right? And as I think about what is it, I'm reminded at the beginning of the year, Pastor Jim, when we laid out what he called his 2020 vision sermon series, he called us to our mission. It was we were going to reaffirm ourselves to the mission of this congregation for this year. And it's interesting thing about it, so much has changed, but that part hasn't changed. Central is not about the building. It's always been about the body of believers that have made the conscious choice to, you know, believe the same things, to live on mission and to do that together. And, you know, we as a church seek to do what Jesus told us to do, right? Three of the main things Jesus said to do are to love the Lord your God, to love your neighbor as yourself, and to go and make disciples. And those are the things that we've all bought in here, whether you're sitting in this room with us today or you're in Overflow or you're at home watching online. Those are the things that we've bought in to do as a church. We say it as we connect to God, we connect to each other, and we connect to our purpose in life. That's the way we phrase that, but it's that we've made the decision as a group of believers to buy into that mission together, and that we're gonna do that, do those things, and we're gonna do it together. That really defines what the essence of this church is. We don't believe those things because we come and sit in this building once a week. We come and sit in this building once a week together because we've already bought in to those things about who we are. So it's all about the people and the body and us living on mission together. And I just wanted to take a few minutes today to kind of walk through that, maybe through a post-pandemic lens or during the pandemic lens of how these things are, some of them have changed, but some of them are, our mission hasn't changed at all. So if you have your Bible today, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at Ephesians 4:16. If you've been around here very much, you may even know this verse because we talk about it a lot. And it's just one of the mission verses we use. And it just simply says, from him, that's Jesus, the whole body, that's us, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. That's our relationships that connect us together, right? What does the body do? It grows and it builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And if you really look carefully there, that's all three components of our mission statement are right there, right off the very top. We connect to God. What does the very first two words in that verse say? From him. And it's not an accident that we say that first, and it's not an accident that Paul says from him first. In fact, if we think about it, everything else that happens in this verse happens from him. And who is him? If we back up a verse into verse 15, we see that we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. So everything that we'd see in the rest of verse 16 comes from him, from Christ. And this idea of Christ as the head of the body and us as part of the body is a really fascinating one to me. When I think about that, as I was preparing for this message, I was reminded of my grandfather. Some of you may know my grandfather. I've got a picture of him. This is him on his 90th birthday. He lives in an assisted living facility. He looks pretty good for 90. I hope I'm... in fact, when I go places with him, people always think I'm his son. And I hope that's because he looks young and not that I look like I'm 65. But it probably could be either one. It could be either one. But he's one of the most influential people in my life. It's been awesome. He grew up in Memphis but retired here, and it's been great for my family to get to be near him. The past few months have been kind of hard because we can't see him as much, but he is an awesome guy. But about 10 years ago, he's kind of been going through a series of physical issues over the last several years. And about 10 years ago, one of those came up, and he had some problems in his back, so he had a series of back surgeries, and he had a complication that was a known risk from that surgery, but after the surgery, there was some nerve damage that was done in his back as part of the procedure, and as a result, he's got a leg that just doesn't quite do right. It's nothing about it's right. It sometimes it hurts really bad. Sometimes he can't feel it at all. It doesn't really move the way he wants it to. It can't really behave the way that a leg needs to behave to be useful. And it really all comes down to it's because that connection between that leg and the head got damaged. And because of that damage, because it doesn't have the proper connection to the head, nothing's right. In fact, the rest of his body has to kind of compensate for it. He's got to work his other leg harder, and he's tough as nails. If you've seen him in the past 10 years, you may not even know that he's dealing with this because he's worked pretty hard. He's finally succumbed a couple years ago and is in a motorized scooter now just to make it easier to get around. But it's fascinating because when you think about that leg is still a leg. It has all the parts that it needs to be a leg. The leg was never injured at all. It was just the connection between the leg and the head that got damaged. And I think that's the way it is for us. I think sometimes, you know, you can think in his situation, there's nothing he can do to rehab the leg. It's not like if it just was connected better to the other leg or to his hip. Nothing that leg can do, nothing the rest of the body can do will repair that connection to the head. And that's really how it is for us. I think sometimes we think, well, you know, if I just connect well enough to other people, or if I really find my calling and purpose, I can do it on my own, and I can maybe use those things to back into having the right personal relationship with Jesus. But that's not how it works. This verse shows us that it all starts with that connection to the head. It's from him, Christ, who is the head of the church. We have to have that connection to the head for us to be able to do all the other things we need to do as a functional part of the body. Pastor Jim says this all the time. He said it in even the past few weeks. He says, what do we hear him say? No one can do your growing for you. You've got to own your own growth and your own spiritual development. It doesn't matter how good your Bible study leader is. It doesn't matter how good Pastor Jim's prayer life is. Those things don't own our connection to the head. We have to do that. And it's interesting because we see Jesus do this too. Jesus understood this. If we look real quick at Luke 5:16, it says that Jesus often withdrew to the lonely places and prayed. If you read the context of this verse, there's crowds and there's excitement and Jesus is doing miracles and people are coming to new faith and they're thinking about new things and there's all this excitement. And Jesus recognizes that he has to have the discipline. The crowds aren't going to leave for him. Jesus has to withdraw. It doesn't say that the crowds left Jesus alone so he had time to engage and take care of his spiritual life. He made a conscious decision to withdraw to lonely places so he could pray. And that's really how it is for us. We have to be disciplined. We have to remove distractions. And, you know, that looks really different. It'd be easy to say, to make excuses and say, you know, life's really different right now. I had a really good routine before the pandemic, but now things are kind of sideways, but I can coast for now. It's not what we see. We've got to have that discipline, even right now in the midst of this pandemic, to own our own connection to the head, who's Jesus. When we think about that, we have to own our own connection to the head. Pastor Jim says, you know, no one can do your growing for you, but he almost always follows that up with what? But none of us can reach our potential alone, right? Because we were created for community, and we see that in the next portion of the scripture. It says, from him, that's our connection to the head. The whole body, that's us, is joined and held together by every supporting ligament. So we're not just a collection of parts that are disconnected. What makes us the body is that we're connected to each other in community, and we're living in community together. And when we, I think that's like that from the very beginning at creation. In fact, we see it communicated in Genesis 2, verse 18, when the writer there is kind of retelling the story of the creation of man and the world. It says, the Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. And what happened? He created another person, a woman, so that the two of them could live in community together. And it's interesting, again, to think about, because at the time where that is said, Adam's in the garden and everything's perfect. He's got a perfect scene. He's got all the animals are around. And all of those things are not enough. It still was not good for man to be alone because those things could not replace the aloneness, and there needed to be another person created so that Adam could live in community with Eve. Jesus even does this too. We see in Mark 3, it says that he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. And it struck me, you know, we see in Genesis that God provided other people. But we see Jesus make, what, a conscious choice, right? It doesn't say 12 people found him. It says he appointed. That can also be translated as chose. He chose 12 people to be with him. And you know, God provides people, but we still have a step that we have to take there too. We have to make a conscious choice, just like we have to make a choice to stay connected to the head. We have to make steps to stay connected to each other. And again, that might look really different. I know at church here, we say, you know, the two of the main ways we connect together is a service like this, and it's great that we're all here and able to do this right now, but this looks really different than it did in January, right? And there's a whole lot of people who aren't able to be here. So the way we do services has had to change a little bit, but the fact that we need to connect together in service is the same. That hasn't changed. And the same is true for groups. There are some great Sunday morning groups that met today online that looks really different than the way we used to do it, but it's still happening, and it's because we need to live in community. Pastor Anthony mentioned before, I think we'll talk about it again later, that we've got some great options for other ways you can connect right now. Online life groups and some in-person groups are starting up. We've got Hilo Moms is going to start up in a few weeks. iPray has things that are coming back. We're all looking differently at it. It's caused us to look differently, but we can't just say, well, it's inconvenient right now. It's hard. There's a pandemic going on. I don't need to connect to others. We always need to connect to others. In fact, Pastor Jim just laid that out really over the last 3 weeks. We can unpack this topic a lot more looking at those Alleluia verses, the power that happens when we're with one another. And we don't need to rehash those. You can go back and listen to those if you missed them. But it's really important that we live in community together. Before we move on, there's one other spot in this in our verse that I think also tells us how we need to live in community together. And it's just two little words, but man, do they pack a punch. When it comes to defining how we live together. It says the body grows and builds itself up, how? In love. If we back up, we looked at verse 15 before. Verse 15 says, you know, he'd set up kind of the ways not to do things, and then he says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And that speaking the truth in love, it really struck me as I was studying the last few weeks for this. I think right now society wants us to feel like that concept of speaking the truth and love are two totally unrelated things, or maybe mutually exclusive things. And I think you see in society, you know, if you get on social media, I don't do a lot on social media, but I occasionally get on there. And I mean, you can find a fight every day on social media if you want to find one. And there's this notion, especially from the social media warriors out there, that if I speak truth, you know, we value truth, and if I speak truth, then there's no holds barred in how I do it. And I can just let it rip, and it's okay. In fact, it might even be good to be a little mean about it because it's true and I'm right. And that's kind of what people want to feel. And if you read that, you see that a lot. You see it on the news. You probably have experienced it in some personal interactions even with people. But then if that's one end of a continuum, way over here on another end, there's a group of people who say, well, you know, we want to love everybody, and love means, you know, we certainly aren't going to cause anyone pain or harm. And, you know, a lot of times the truth hurts. So in an effort to love people effectively, we're just going to kind of stay away from truth because it would maybe be uncomfortable and it might hurt somebody's feelings. And if I hurt your feelings, then I don't love you. And is that what we see in Scripture? Neither one of those things are right. If those are the ends of the continuum, we're called as believers to negotiate the difficult ground right down the middle where we do both. And I think that would be a great thing for us as a congregation to continue to take the lead on. I feel that with our team. We've had even over the last few weeks some difficult conversations, haven't we, Steve? But I've never felt not loved by my team in any of those. And I think that's the same is true for all of us. And I love that our congregation kind of intuitively does that. But I think this would be a great moment for us to kind of reaffirm that that's how we're going to live, not only with each other, but to set an example for the rest of the world. So I would encourage you in the days that are ahead, let that guide some of your thinking. Remember that I'm not going to shy away from truth in the name of love, but I'm also not going to be aggressive with my truth. Because, you know, by sharing truth without love. I'd love to see us continue to take the lead on that as we move through the days that are ahead. And we really see that because we're connected to the head, right? This is exactly how God deals with us. God is our source of truth. When we're connected to him, he deals with us in truth, but it's always also in love. So we're just mimicking our relationship with others. In our relationship with others, we're mimicking exactly the way God deals with us. And let's take the lead in continuing to do that. So we see we need to have a connection to the head. We need to have a connection to others, with each other. We need to let love and truth guide that connection. But what's the last thing we see in this verse? It says, the body grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And I think this is a great reminder that wherever we're at, all of us have work to do. When we look at the construction of this verse, at the beginning of the verse, there's these words about the whole body and every joint and ligament, and it's this kind of emphasis on collective, the body. But when we get to this part, what do we see? We see each and its. And that implies individualism, right? So that doesn't mean we get to be part of a call for the whole body. We do. But it also means, it's very clear in the construction, this holds up in the Greek too. I know enough Greek just to be dangerous, but this holds up. And where it is evoking an individualistic theme here. So that means that each one of us that are in this room has an assigned task to do. Paul unpacks this even more in his talk about the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians. We see in chapter 12, verse 18 of 1 Corinthians. It's one of my favorite verses. It's a short one, it's small, it's easy to kind of blow through and all the other good stuff that's in that chapter. But this verse just says, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, exactly as he wanted them to be. So I like to think of this verse as, this is probably a silly way to think about this, but I think about this as sort of the difference between a car and the auto parts store. Because if you think about it, they both have all the parts, right? They both have all the parts, but the one that's useful has the parts arranged and placed exactly where the designer or the creator of the car specified them to be. And I can't take a collection of car parts from the auto parts store and pitch it out on my driveway and then drive to work in that the next day, right? I have to have the car. I have to have the parts, but I have to have them arranged, I have to have them designed, and I have to have them placed in exactly the right place to be, for that to be a useful implement. And when we think about placed is interesting because, you know, we've all placed things somewhere. And it's easy to think of that as just the location. I put my phone on this table and it's placed there, but I also did that at a specific time, right? I did that when I walked up here. I placed my phone on that side table. And when we place something, there's a location involved, but there's also always a time that happened. So when it says that God has placed each part of the body exactly where he wanted it to be, that's us, right? That means we've been placed exactly not only in the spot that we're in, but for the time that we're in it. So what I extrapolate from that is that everybody in this room, everybody in the chapel that's listening on Overflow, everybody listening online this weekend, you've been placed by God somewhere for this moment right now. And it's easy to think, everything's upside down and different, and I know I have a call on my life, but you know, it's probably paused right now during this pandemic because, you know, I'm not going to work the same way that I used to. If you're a student, you know, Pastor Jim, this time of year reminds us all that you're not just going to school, you're being sent to school. And it's easy to think, well, that's different because I'm going to school online. If I'm, you know, in some colleges are all online, some school districts are mostly online. If you're in Springfield, you may be going 2 days a week. That's really different. It'd be really easy for us to say, well, I don't have a calling and a purpose for things right now. But that's not true. We see that very clearly because God has placed each part of the body right where he wanted it to be. And that means all of us have a task to do for this season. Amen? You know, that affects us at church right now too. There's, you know, we're just launched kids ministry. We have a lot of our kids volunteers that have been part of things, but for whatever reason, they're not able to come back. But two things, that doesn't mean they don't have another purpose. And we've talked to some of them about that. It's been awesome to see some of them that can't do what they used to do, to see new things that they're doing. But that might also mean some of us have new things that we need to do, new roles we need to step into. So let's be sensitive to what the Lord's asking us to do. At the beginning of the year, actually last fall, we launched a serve class that's built around these same themes that walks through the way God uniquely created each of us to serve. And that class was awesome, and it was going great, and then it kind of had to stop, but we're taking that online. I think you're going to share about that a little later, Pastor Anthony. But if you're interested in serving somewhere, just because there's a pandemic on and just because we only have Sunday morning service doesn't mean there's not other places to serve here. And I think your calling and your placement goes beyond here too. Don't forget that. So we're called to be witnesses in every interaction that we have. And those may look really different right now, but it doesn't absolve us, the pandemic doesn't absolve us from having a purpose in our life right now. You know, when we live out our calling, we do have to remember that, bring this whole thing full circle. When we live out that calling, it comes where? From the head, and it comes in community with each other. So we at Central, what do? We connect to God, we connect to each other, and we connect our purpose in life. And it's when we do those things, we can be the effective and mature church that God has called us to be. As we wrap up, I want to go back to that picture of the 1920 building. And worship team, you can come. We're going to wrap up here in a couple of minutes. And you know, if you study the history of this church, it's interesting because the church started in 1907. But that building didn't happen until 1920. And that means there were 13 years intervening there where there was not a building at all. And it's awesome. We've got a video on our Facebook and on our YouTube that kind of shares some of the places they met. And it's really fascinating to see the way that they did all the things they did during those 13 years. But in 1919, 1920, they really felt the Lord leading them to try and build a building. So they took steps for that. And it's amazing to see even the way the Lord provided during that, the way we got the property that we're still on here, just the way all that happened, it was clear that God was in it. But here's the interesting thing. It took them 13 years to get into that building. You know how long that building lasted? It lasted 9 years. It was destroyed by a fire in 1929, and it was completely gone. So then the congregation had a decision they had to make, and so they rebuilt the building, and here's a picture of it. Some of you may remember that building, and over the years, they built that in 1930, and over the years, it was added onto, and other buildings were built, and they acquired other property in the neighborhood, and they continued to kind of expand the footprint on this block. And in 1956, the building that was the multipurpose hall, that became the multipurpose hall, was built. And then later, a fire destroyed the 1930 building, and it was a total loss. But a nursery was built. A nursery and education building was built in its place. And then later, this building that we're sitting in right now, the sanctuary and the chapel portion, were built. We built the activity center. We've remodeled things. And there's just, look at the stack of pictures of building. I mean, there's just building after building after building after building project has happened here. But none of those buildings has outlasted this congregation. The building that stood the longest has barely stood half of the time that we've been a congregation. And I think that's just another reminder that this church has always been about the people that are here. It's always been about the body and the mission that we choose to buy into together. And it's never been just about one building or the place that we are. The building's a tool. And let me say, too, I'm the executive pastor here. I do a lot with the building. The building is a great tool for us, but it doesn't define who we are. Our mission defines who we are. And you know, I don't know what the future's going to hold. You know, I didn't know 6 months ago that 5 months ago we would not be able to use the building. And I don't know. I'm watching other churches I know in town and other places. Some of them are having to close back up and go online only. I don't know if that may happen to us. And I don't know, you know, there's other things that could happen to these buildings. Who knows what the future holds? But this is what I know, is that as long as we stay connected to God and we stay connected to each other and we live on mission and connected to the calling that God has for us, this congregation is going to thrive, and it's going to make an impact on this neighborhood, on this city, on this region, and on this world for the Lord, for the work that the Lord wants to do. And I think that this is a wonderful time for us to reaffirm that at a time where we're celebrating 100 years of being here, and at a time when the whole world feels like it's upside down. We can reaffirm that, and that's going to carry us into the future that God has for this church. Amen. Is that what you want today? If that's what you want, say amen. And let's close with a word of prayer. Bow your heads.